more healing as the word comes. Glory to Jesus. All right. I also want to celebrate all the mothers for the Mother's Day. I'm praying in the name of Jesus. God bless all our mothers, all our women, whether married, nor yet married. The Lord will make you a mother in this and not murderers. Who are murderers? Murderers are those who sleep over their children. You won't sleep over your children. God is going to grant you wisdom to nurse your children, your generation, to be what God has ordained them to be, in the mighty name of Jesus. So therefore today, let us look at an important subject, either for mother, for father, and for family life. More so this month that the Lord is calling us to walk in with Him, walking in the Spirit. So let's look at this critical issue, the necessity of spirituality in marriage. The necessity of spirituality in marriage. Let's read the word of God. Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. I hope you are making your notes. From verse 21 through to 23. I read, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." As I bring the word of God to us today, I trust the Lord to establish the following. Number one, the spiritual foundation of marriage. That marriage has spirituality as its foundation. The bedrock of marriage is spirituality. And when that foundation is not there, it will crush. It will crash. It cannot stand. And so, we now need to learn the importance of spiritual handling of our marriage, of our home, and of our relationship. And in doing this, we also need to learn that being spiritual, or spiritual work as we are talking about, is not the same as religiosity. All of these things we do, all of the religion practices and so on, they do not translate in any way to spiritual work. Although it might look like it outwardly, it's not. The Bible says, God knows those that are His. Praise God. So understanding Genesis chapter 2 from verse 21 to 23, that we read now, reveal that marriage is a spiritual entity which requires spiritual nurturing to thrive. Earlier in chapter 1, when God formed the man, then he put in him the Spirit of God. And then man carried the Spirit of God in him, which make him different from every other animal. Glory to Jesus. And now, out of this man that carried the Spirit of God in him, was the woman brought out. So
So marriage has this as its foundation, the Spirit of God. So if marriage is going to thrive, it requires this spiritual, will I call it senses, or this spiritual consciousness now. It must be there. Now, when marriage that ought to be, that is expected to be spiritual, when undued carnally, then marriage can become a source of lust of hope. A source of lost hope, disappointment, and depression. Now, conversely, spiritually undued marriage gains empowerment through wisdom and power of God. And that will foster all-around prosperity. Are you still with me? Many have gone into marriage with high hope, but because the foundation is not there, which is spirituality, are we still together? Then their hope was dashed. It became a lost hope. Then it became disappointment. Then it became depression. But if marriage can be well undoed, spiritually undoed, it will gain empowerment, which is going to bring all around prosperity. Can I hear your amen? So therefore, spiritual husband and wives will ignite a fiery, glorious hopes when the man and the woman is spiritual. And when I mean spiritual, I'm not talking about, you know, religious rigidity. No, that's not what I'm talking about. But having a walk with God, having a passionate relationship with God. I mean, God can tell you, listen to your wife. Like God told Abraham, listen to your wife. I'm talking to you through your wife. That is walking with God. Even though what the man did left to him, I mean, Ishmael was his hope at that moment. The young boy, Isaac, was just coming up. And then Sarah said, send her away. And the man was reluctant, wasn't ready to send away his son. I mean, somebody has waited for long. Now God has blessed you in court with two sons. Is that not a blessing? Talk to me, somebody. Is that not a blessing? Now, one woman who orchestrated the whole thing, who gave the wife, I mean, the husband, the wife, now said, send her away. Send what away? But because of the spirituality of this home, the man could hear God speak and say, listen to your wife. I'm the one speaking. If you leave that boy in your house, that's a danger. You will lose my promises concerning you. Now just imagine Isaac grew up with Ishmael. Just think about it. Because God himself said his hand is going to be upon everyone, and everyone's hand is going to be upon him. Even when there is peace, and where there is peace, once Ishmael comes, where there is peace, the peace will turn to pieces. So invariably, what God is telling Abraham was that if you want to enjoy this peace in your home, send away the trouble you brought in yourself. You know, there are so many things we call blessings that they are not from God. May you be spiritual enough, and may you be humble enough in your walk with God, that when God is telling you what you call blessing is not a blessing, throw it away. May you be humble enough to throw it away. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. So only spiritual husbands and wives. I hope you understand when I'm talking about spiritual. I'm not talking about people who go to church. No, that's not what we are talking about. But when you are spiritual, you will go to church. But that you go to church does not make you spiritual. Hello, did you understand the difference? that you are a deacon, you hold this position, you hold that position in the church, does not translate to spirituality. And that is why, you see, we see a lot of things going on in the body of Christ today, and people give reasons for it. They will even tell you, Abraham did it. How many wives did Abraham had? Talk to me, how many wives? At least more than one. So people will tell you, Abraham had it, and God didn't see anything. Or did God see anything? Oh, come and talk to me. Did God see anything? And so that is what is going on in the body of Christ today. But may you know your God. I said, may you know your God personally. That Abraham did it, God didn't talk about it. But remember the trouble of Abraham today. Just remember, if there is anything that is troubling the blessing of Abraham today, it is that same thing that God didn't talk about. May God not be quiet over your error. Spiritual. This is why you have to be spiritual. So I'm telling you why you have to be spiritual. So that you can ignite a glorious room. You can set a glorious standard for your lineage. Now, being spiritual does not imply rigid religiosity. But it implies rather walking in the spirit, having a relationship with God, aligning with God's will for your life, for your family, and resisting every fleshy desires, as we see in Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. So let's look at Galatians chapter 5 verse 16. This is our anchor scripture for this month. Now the Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit." Where do you walk, please? Talk to me. Where do you walk? In the Spirit. And you have the capacity to walk in the Spirit. Why? Because you are a spirit being. Man is made spirit, soul, and body. So you don't only walk in flesh. It won't be to your profit when you walk in flesh alone. The Bible says, it went on to say that when you walk in flesh alone, it says you will fulfill the lust of the flesh. I read, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So if you put it the other way, if you don't walk in the Spirit, then you are going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at what happened in verse 17. Look at the battle that goes on quietly on daily basis, and we do not know. He said, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh." Did you get that? So there is a war, and these are contrary. They are fighting. There is an ongoing war in your life and on your behalf on daily basis. And you are part of that war. Are you with me today? You are part of that war. You are a major actor in that war. So when you yield yourself to the flesh, you become loser in destiny. When you yield yourself to the Spirit, then you set up yourself for what God has ordained for you. Say louder, amen. So he says, when these one are in contrary with one another, he said the reason is so that you will not be able to do the things that you will. So there are things you have to do. So when you walk in the Spirit, you will be able to do what you're supposed to do. Listen, God's blessings are not automatic. I hope you can note that one down. You can't be breaking God's principles and enjoy and expect God's blessings. It doesn't work like that. You must align yourself in the will of God. You must walk in the Spirit and then leave the rest to God. So only when you walk in the Spirit, you will be empowered to do what you're supposed to do. You don't get that? There are things you're supposed to do. Tell yourself, there are things I must do. If I must see the
promises of God in my life fulfilled. Say it again, there are things I must do if I must see the promises of God come to pass in my life.
And only when you walk in the Spirit, you can see them. Even in our marriages. Even in our relationships.
Now, when you read downward, it talks about, Galatians chapter 5, then it talks about if you are walking in the Spirit, then eventually you become led on daily basis by the Spirit of God. That is verse 18. And then the Bible says, when you do that, you are not under the law. You are not under restriction. Next two, we'll talk about that. By the grace of God. And then he went on to talk about the works of the flesh. From verse 18 to verse 21. Then look at what he talk about. He talk about adultery. He talk about fornication, which exists between two people. Did you get? Murder, drunkenness, reveling. They talk, they are the things that happen in our relationships. Then it talks about in verse 22, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Nine of them, which talks from love to joy, to peace, to long suffering, to gentleness, to goodness, to faith, to meekness, to temperance. Now the Bible says against this there is no law. Now this is where I'm going. Look at verse 26. Look at verse 26. I want to show you something. Now all of these things, whether the works of the flesh or the fruit of the Spirit, where we need them in our relationships, it is in our relationships that we need them. Are you still with me? Let me show you. Verse 26. It says, let us not be desirous of vainglory. Then what did you say? He said, provoking what? One another. And then envying one another. So that is what happened when we don't walk in the Spirit. You see, it affects our God-ordained relationship. It hinders our God-ordained relationship. When we don't walk in the Spirit, then we start to provoke one another. Are you still with me? We start to envy one another. Listen, in every family, there is a firstborn. Yes or no? The same thing, whatever God wants to do, there is a firstborn. Did you understand what I'm talking about? Now, in the family of Jacob, Joseph was number what? Talk to me. By number, by birth, he was number what? Huh? 11. I want to be sure you know your Bible. He was the number 11th son. Biologically, say with me, biologically. I can't hear you. Say biologically. It was number 11. But you see, spiritually, it was the firstborn. What God wants to do through Jacob, it was the one to carry it. So it was the firstborn. So the portion that Reuben ought to get, the double portion Reuben ought to get as the firstborn, went to the firstborn Joseph. Did you get that? Are you still with me? In whatever want God will do, there is always the one among us that God will start with. Listen, if God will make all of us rich, are you with me? That richness or riches will start with one of us. If God wants to open doors of nation
to all of us. It will start from one of us. Are you with me? So when we understand this move of God, now let me say, the only way we can understand these doings of God among men in every generation is to walk in the Spirit. That the one who is called, who is biologically the firstborn, can know that what God wants to do with our lineage, He has decided, He has shifted it to number 11. Now, at the end of the day, you know, initially they were saying, no, we will see how your dream will come to pass. We will see this. And they were struggling. And they sold him. And they did all manner of things. You remember? But that did not in any way hinder what God has ordained. And listen, it happened in family. This thing happened in the family of Jacob. It happened in society, it happened in community, it happened among friends. I've said this thing before in one of our Bible study. As far as God is concerned, the first is not always the first. And the one people look down on and say is the last is not always the last. This thing is all about aligning ourselves with the will of God, walking in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Listen, even at that moment that Joseph became the prime minister, recognizes his brothers, and he had a good time to deal with them. If he did not, are you following me at all? If he did not understand the reason why, while he was in that office, and he was not in the Spirit, and he decided to act according to the flesh, he will lose that blessing. Because at that moment, he will be undoing the will of God. Are you following me? Because God's will is that they will be nourished through him being there. You see, what God promised Abraham long time ago can be fulfilled. Now, if Joseph at that moment did not walk in the Spirit, you know, he will say that, I fear the Lord. When Mrs. Potiphar said, come, lie with me, have a way of escape, you know, and enjoy yourself in the house, you know, he said, no, I can't do this and sin against God. So he's a man who walks in the Spirit. You see, listen, you can be in the prison and still walk in the Spirit. Challenges of life, things you are going through, they are not excuses for you. To look for shortcuts. So Joseph is a man who has given himself to fear God, and by so we can say he is walking in the Spirit. And so he recognized that I am here for a purpose. The purpose is that I must feed you. Did you get that? He recognized it. I must feed you. I am here to nurture you. I won't fail to nurture you. That's why I'm here. He said, go and bring all your children. Go and bring all your family. Take this wagon. Go and bring my father. And because one man was able to recognize the reason for his promotion, so he ensured, he bring himself to the perfect purpose of God for his life and for his generation. And so doing, what God has promised their forefather many generations ago, he was able to fulfill it and work it out. So you never know, to a large extent, what happened when you walk in the Spirit. How many generations back God enabled you to go to walk his will into the present. May you walk in the spirit. May you find God's purpose for your life and for your generation in the name of Jesus. So very quickly, let's look at these two parts. And I trust God to run very fast now. Number one, we'll be looking at evidences of a spiritual man in marriage. So since it takes both a man and a woman to make marriage, not man to man or woman to woman. So let's look at evidences of a spiritual man in marriage. And then we'll also look at the evidences of a spiritual woman in marriage. And I have about 10 points, evidences of a spiritual man, and about 6 for the woman. So let's quickly look at them. Number one, what is the normal evidence of a spiritual man? A spiritual man speaks God's creative words. A spiritual man speaks God's creative word, manifesting promises for his family. So in Genesis chapter 2, verse 20, where we read, the Bible says that, Adam, let me open again. Media, please help me. Let's work together. Genesis 2:20. The Bible says, and Adam gave names to all cattle and to the fowls of the air and to every beast of the field. But for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So we saw here Adam named everything. He opened his mouth using the creative word of God in his mouth to call things. And the Bible says, whatever name Adam has called them, that is the name given to them. So as a spiritual man in your family, you have to name things. You see, for that reason, it is the man that has been given that privilege to name the child. We saw it. The angel gave the name of John to Zechariah. It was Zechariah who told the mother. In the time of Jesus, the revelation was given to Mary and later on to the father, Joseph. And then when it was time to name the child, Joseph named the child Jesus. A spiritual man speaks creative word over his family for the manifestation of the promises of God over his family. And when you speak this word, it nullifies demonic manipulations. When you don't speak this word, your silence activates demonic manifestations. Did you get that? If you don't speak, you allow demonic manifestation. That's why every man must be spiritual. You must be spiritual. You must have on your mouth, on your tongue, the creative word of God. Did you get that? It's so important. Because whatever you call things, that is what it will be. When you are silenced over anything, your silence will mean yes over that situation. Number two, a spiritual man recognizes his wife as God's helpmeet, meeting unique needs. I repeat, a spiritual man recognizes his wife as God's helpmeet, meeting unique needs. So in verse 20, still in verse 20, Genesis chapter 2, look at that part B. He said, but for Adam, there was not found an helpmeet for him. So when the woman came, she came as an helpmeet for Adam. So there are certain help that woman is meant to meet, and they are unique help. So you have to stop comparing your wife with another woman that you know somewhere. Your wife is your wife. Stop the comparison.
Otherwise, once you start comparing, you start walking in flesh. You start fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Are you gaining something today?
She has come to meet certain needs. So don't compare her. The one you are comparing to her is a help to her own husband for certain needs. So if your wife is not good in administration, stop comparing her with an administrator, a woman administrator in your office. God knew you are good in administration. You cannot do that. God knew perfectly well the need she must meet. She has been created. She has been brought to meet in your wife, in your life.
Every man here, can you say, I thank God for my wife. I am blessed having my wife in my life. Amen. And so before you married, for the unmarried there. Yeah. So pray. But while you pray, Jesus said, watch and pray. Don't be in hurry. Don't be in hurry. Be sure God is leading you. And when you commit everything into the hand of God and you walk in His will, you can be sure everything will be perfect. Don't just go for what you can see alone. There are many dimensions to marriage. Until you get in, your eyes will not be open to many. Until you get in, your eyes will not be open to many. Until you get in there, your eyes will not be open to many dimensions of marriage. And that is why you must understand this spiritual foundation of marriage. Number what now? Number three. A spiritual man trusts God, resting in His provision. A spiritual man will trust God. A spiritual man will trust God. So in verse 21, Genesis 2:21, the Bible says, and the Lord caused Adam to sleep a deep sleep, and Adam slept. So that is rest. He rested in God. He trusts God in all. And by the time he opened his eyes, and God said, this is it, have it. No question. So a spiritual man trusts God all the time. They rest in God's promises and God's provision. So they don't try to help themselves and then bring trouble into their family. The moment Abraham tried to help himself together with his wife, they brought trouble to their home. Don't help yourself. Don't help God. Help me tell your neighbor, don't help yourself. Help me tell your neighbor, say, don't help yourself and don't help God. Number four, a spiritual man acknowledges strengths in his spouse, complementing his weaknesses. A spiritual man will recognize, they will acknowledge strength in his spouse that complements his own weaknesses. Earlier in verse 18, Genesis 2:18, the Bible says that it is not good for a man to be alone. I'm going to make and help me for him. And then in verse 21, the Bible will ensure that this help came through a woman. So mean that there is, look at that part B of Genesis 20, verse 21, chapter 2. The Bible says, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. At that moment, there was a vacuum in Adam. And that vacuum has become a strength in Eve. So every spiritual man will recognize this, will acknowledge that there is a particular strength his wife carried, which he needed. No matter how spiritual you are, even when you think you have everything, there is something you needed that is in your wife. And listen, we are talking about the necessity of spirituality in marriage. If what God wants to do with you will not die with you, that the generation and generations after you will take it up and it will continue. As we saw in Abraham, then you must appreciate and value the necessity of spirituality in marriage. You can't be casual about it. You have to be deliberate. Next point, a spiritual man treats his wife with care and affection, recognizing her as his own flesh. Recognizing her as his own flesh. So look at verse 23. So when Adam saw the woman, she said, "This is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh." At that moment, Adam recognized her as bone of his own bone and flesh of his own flesh. Then, without understanding, a man will treat his wife with care, with affection. Look at your body. You care for your body. So in Ephesians chapter 5, from verse 25 to 29, the scripture admonishes that, give an instruction. Let's quickly see in Ephesians chapter 5. Praise God. From verse 25. It says, "Husband, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word." That is the responsibility of a spiritual husband. A man that is spiritual. "That he might sanctify and cleanse that with the washing of water by the word." So when a man is spiritual enough, he will water his wife. Unlike many men who believe in just making provision of food, supplying all the needs, asking the woman to go and pray for him, and say, "You go and do the prayer, go to church. I will run around. May you not run forever." Am I talking to men? You are the one to lead your family to the presence of God. If all your running will not be in vain, run them to God's presence. As you run your business around, run them to God's presence. Is that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own body. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So this is how men should cherish their wife, as their own body. So a spiritual man will cherish his wife, will care for his wife as his own body. Why must she lose her beauty? Because she's married to you. Can I also challenge us, men? Why must your wife lose her dream? Because she wants to fulfill your own vision. Why she is fulfilling, helping you to fulfill and drive your own vision. Drive her own vision too. You see, once she has a sense of fulfillment, she can go any length with you. A spiritual man understands this. She's not in your house to run errands, to do what do you call it now? To lose her own life, in short, to lose her own dreams and visions. That all she just do is to bear children, and then to sit down and take care of them, and to cook for you, and to wash your clothes, and then she forget about her own life. Listen, she may not talk today. In years to come, after it is obvious that she has lost her dream, something terrible is expected to such a man. You see, this is where many men lost the enjoyment of their old age. Because while they are running, the woman is helping them to fulfill their own vision. They did not bother about that. And by the time she is older and she realizes that all hope to fulfill her own vision is lost, then she becomes unfulfilled. How do you help an unfulfilled fellow at old age? May God grant us wisdom as men in the mighty name of Jesus. So if you don't know the vision of your wife, go home and discuss about it. And work together for that fulfillment. Yes, you are going to build houses together, you are going to do this and that together. But beyond that, there is something she wants to achieve. Probably she had even tried before she married to achieve it. She couldn't. Now that she's married to you, can you help her? That as she's helping you to fulfill yours, can you help her fulfill hers? If you can do, she will remain your number one fan. She will go any length with you. Next point. A spiritual man names his wife. A spiritual man names his wife. Now, naming your wife symbolizes authority, blessing, and love. A spiritual man names his wife. Look at verse 23. Part B, the Bible says, she shall be called. Adam said, she shall be called woman. Did you get that? Who gave the name woman? Please. Adam. Was it God? Who named the animal? Was it God? She named his wife. Man, name your wife. Even when her father has named her, when she comes to your house, name her. Do a naming ceremony for her. Because it is whatever you called her, she will be to you. Now, let me show you something. Later on in chapter 3, verse 20, by the time the devil has been able to come into the family through the woman, then Adam looked at her and said, she shall be called Eve. Let's see that. Chapter 3, verse 20. And Adam called his wife, the woman. She now called her Eve because she was the mother of all living. We know she was the mother of all living, but she has caused Eve, so we call her Eve. But initially, she looked at her, said, woman. What does that mean, woman? The destiny I have, I want to fulfill. She carried the womb. So when you call woman, it's a womb man. The man who has womb, woman. That's why spiritual men, they have this understanding that the smartest person and the quiet, you know, but strategic person who can undo whatever you are doing and in that whatever you want to achieve quietly that can bring you into higher level of frustration. Do you understand?
It's your wife. Women, enjoy yourself. Do everything.
I hope you know that king outside, they knelt down in the room.
Like, yo. Name her
what you want her to be to you. So therefore, don't allow any small issue to make her name her what you don't want her to be.
Foolish woman,
then she will behave more foolishly. You are idiot. Then you have just create an idiot being. You are stupid. Then she'll begin to do everything after the order of stupidity.
But there is an issue. But because you are a spiritual man, are you angry? Yes, you are angry. Did you like the sin? You don't like it. What do? You keep quiet.
Because in your quietness, you cannot sin. Let me tell your neighbor, in your quietness, you cannot sin. But when you open your mouth to talk uncontrollably, you can talk death. You can actually talk what you don't want to see. Many trouble in our home started from our mouth. Don't call your wife what you don't want her to, what you don't want her to be. It is whatever you want her to be, that is what you should call her. Even when she is doing the opposite of what you want, call her what you want to see. By so doing, you are calling forth what you want her to be from out of her. And I tell you, because you understand this spiritual principle, she will be what you call her. In this place now, I'm the only one called Benga. So you know, okay, Benga, because that is my name, I will be the only one to answer. So if you call your wife blessed, irrespective of what is going on between the two of you, then she will become blessed. But you see, little thing just happened, and then you begin to compare her, and then begin to call her names. Then she will behave after the order of what you called her. And that might become a battle that you cannot finish. The same thing for our women. Don't call your husband what you don't want her to be to you. Your husband, you expect her, she's not financially buoyant. You expect her to give this certain amount of money, but he was able to give 10%. That means you are a god. You are taking tithes. So take the tithe with joy.
Did you understand what I'm talking about?
Take it with joy. And as Melchizedek, bless Abraham, bless your husband.
Are we together, please?
Now, by the time you bless her, he will return with an increased 10%. And am I making sense unto you? The way some people are looking at me. Pastor, what are you talking about? Nigeria is that. But I'm telling you the way to have the blessing of God upon your home. Can you help me with this? Can you?
So name your spouse, the name you are to.
Let me move to the next point. And not just your spouse, your children. And then every situation in your family, call blessing, call favor, call increase, call enlargement, call harvest, and whatever you call, we manifest. Say louder, amen. Point number what now? Number what? Number seven. You have to cleave to your wife. A spiritual man cleave to his wife, forming a lasting bond. Cleave to your wife as a spiritual man. For the rest of life, until you are bonded, there is no marriage. Genesis in verse 24, Genesis 2:24. Therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, shall cleave, and then they shall become one. It is at this point you can actually say your marriage is working. Glory to Jesus. So you have to cleave. You have to cleave. That is where you are going. You have to cleave. You have to cleave. And in cleaving, you have to leave some things behind. It is in your cleaving that you will form a bond together. And that is where you are going as husband and wife. Are we together, please? And for all single, this is where you are going together as husband and wife. Not just to marry today and then little thing happen, you don't understand the spirituality foundation of marriage, and then you are calling it quit suddenly. No. Number 8, you cultivate intimate, shame-free relationship. The spiritual man will cultivate intimate shame relationship with his wife. So in verse 25, the Bible says, they were both together naked, the man and his wife, they are not ashamed. Additionally, it is believed that there are certain things you don't discuss with woman so that she will not use it against you. How many of you have been taught or you have heard that from our fathers and the rest? That is not biblical. That is not biblical. You have to get to a point where you are not ashamed in your relationship. You are not ashamed in any way. In any way. In any way, you are not ashamed. You have to ensure that you do away with anything that has to bring shame or that is bringing shame. You have to be naked in your relationship, in your marriage, as a man to your wife. As much as possible, you have. Thank you. So as much as possible, you have to be open. Number 9, as a spiritual man, you lead your family spiritually. A spiritual man leads his family spiritually. So in Genesis 18:19, we saw Abraham led his family. And God said, I know him. He will lead his family. He will order them to do the will of God. So therefore God said, whatever I have intended to do with him, it won't fail. Because I know him. He will lead his family. So as a spiritual man, you have to lead your family. You have to lead your family. You have to ensure that you set the pace to know God. For your wife, for your children, particularly to know God. And easily, your children will find God. You see, when father leads any cause in the family, that cause becomes very easy for the children to take, to understand. So as a father, when you lead your children to God, in the service of God, in the way of God, they can easily understand the father figure of God. But when you are not there as a father, then it becomes a thing of confusion for them. Yes, they will be learning the theory, but the practicality will not be there for them. Lastly, because of time, as a spiritual man, what do? You have to be mindful of spiritual warfare. Be mindful of spiritual warfare. So you walk in the spirit. Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Ephesians 6 from verse 11 to 13 tells us that we war against not flesh and blood, but against principalities and power. Listen, husband and wife, why we all have to be spiritual? Listen, when devil will set up Abraham, he didn't come and say, I'm devil. He only bring a frustration into the heart of the woman. The woman felt so frustrated that she
agree on our own to marry another wife for our husband. And as spiritual as Abraham was, you know, God talked to Abraham. He's a friend of God, right? But you see, the frustration of his wife was so much that at that moment he couldn't hear the voice of God. He has forgotten the promises of God. And at that moment, he just danced to the tune of the pressure of his wife. You see, when the Bible, Jesus talked about a man's foe as members of his family, he wasn't talking about they attacking you or whatever, but they will hinder you in doing the will of God for your life. That's what Jesus was talking about. When your loved one loves you so much above the love of God, when they care for you so much, more than how God cares for you, then it's a dangerous care. Are you with me, people of God? Don't allow anyone to care for you more than God will care for you. No one should take the place of God in your life. So here we have to be mindful of spiritual warfare. You know, in 1 Peter 3:7, at the end of that verse or chapter, scripture, the Bible says that your prayer will not be hindered. If I ask you now that who hindered the prayer of the saints, you will tell me it is the devil, right? But you see, there, the Bible didn't talk about devil. He said, likewise, your husband, dwell with them, that is your wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto wife. Are you getting me? He said, as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. And then he said, if you don't do all of this, then, he said, that your prayer be not in that. Did you see devil there? Talk to me. Did you see devil there? But this tells you how spiritual warfare works. Listen, you can hinder your husband's prayer without you knowing. Even with your quietness, you can bewitch your husband. So I'm telling you now, every woman that you are angry with your husband, go and forgive your husband. Otherwise, stop complaining that he didn't give you money. Because you are the one frustrating him. You are the one hindering his prayer. Is somebody getting this? That your prayer be not hindered. You just need to ask yourself, woman, I hope I'm not the one hindering my prayer, the prayer of my husband. Release, forgive, release, so that a blessing can come upon your family. So you have to be spiritual to this point and recognize the spiritual warfare of life. And it is only when we are spiritual that we can recognize this. You see, as a child of God, there is always this edge around us. Are you still with me? So once if we don't remove the edge, devil cannot come in. Are you with me? Until that edge is removed by one of us, devil cannot do anything. If you understand this, say amen. Very quickly, evidences of a spiritual woman in marriage. And I'm going to start from the last point. A spiritual woman is mindful of spiritual warfare. A spiritual woman is mindful of spiritual warfare. So she's walking in the spirit. So she guides him out. The Lord taught me something maybe 2 days ago or a few days ago. Now, we have 2 eyes, right? 2 ears, right? 2 what again? 2 hands, 2 legs, 2 this, 2 that. But how many mouths? 1 mouth. So in your family, there should be 1 mouth. If you don't want to start confusion, bring confusion and bring disorder, let there be 1 mouth in your family. And that mouth belongs to your husband. The moment Eve got mouth to speak and discourse with the devil, that's the trouble for our family. As a spiritual woman, tell yourself, I don't have the mouth. I don't have the mouth. I don't have the mouth. So guide your mouth. In guiding your mouth, you promote life-giving communication. And I can give you scriptures, Proverbs 10, 19, Proverbs 21, 23, James 3, 8, Psalm 34, verse 12 and 13. In fact, let's look at Psalm 34. Psalm 34, powerful scripture, Psalm 34, verse 12 and 13. Psalm 34. Look at it, verse 12 and verse 13. The Bible says, what man is he that desire life and love it many days, that he may see good? Did you see those things? A man that love life, a man that wants many days, a man that love to see good things. Verse 13, what did he say? Let him keep his tongue from what? From evil. And thy lips from speaking guiles. In other words, your prosperity is in your tongue. How much you can guide your mouth. Don't speak what you don't want to see. Every spiritual woman recognizes that she can become a soft target in getting her husband and family. I mean, to get Adam. Listen, devil couldn't go to Adam. He knew he wouldn't survive. I mean, he can't win. He can't get him. But went to the woman. Only God knew what happened. But you see, devil, he may not know everything, but he can quietly see some openness. He always tried to create some confusion to have his way, to cause a penetration for himself. Are you getting me? But when we understood this and we are spiritual, we understand there is spiritual warfare and it is a continuous thing, then we are mindful of this spiritual warfare by walking in the spirit, by ensuring that we are not, devil did not set us against one another. No envy, no malice, no bad boasts among us. Even when there are issues, you do at least keep your mouth quiet. So you can become a soft target to get your husband. So when devil got only the two of them, got the entire family, to the extent that they were sent out of the garden. So guide your mouth. I write here, temperament shouldn't be the reason for a temperature rising in relationship due to uncontrollable tongues. Temperament, because it's your temperament, shouldn't be the reason for a temperature rising in relationship due to uncontrollable tongues. So what are the other things? I will just mention them and then we close. The other evidences of a spiritual woman. A spiritual woman humbly accepts a supportive role. She humbly accepts a supportive role, complimenting her husband. Genesis chapter 2, verse 22b. Number 3. embraces our identity and calling as a helper and partner. So let me say a few words there. As a woman who will not be frustrated, find your calling. Find your calling. Why you have been called to help your husband, embrace your own identity so that there will not be frustration at the end of the day. Find your calling. The Bible says in Genesis 22 verse 23, Adam called her woman. So find what you are called, woman. Find you are helping and partnering with your husband. Number four, right? A spiritual woman embodies virtues of a godly woman. In other words, a spiritual woman is a virtuous woman. A spiritual woman is a virtuous woman, according to Proverbs 31, verse 10 to 28. Next point. Don't allow the children to become war in your relationship. Don't allow. It is wisdom of every wise woman. You don't allow your children to become war and shift your love to children. No. If you have shifted your love from your husband to your children, shift it back. Deliberately, please. For the good and the blessing of your family. For the prosperity of your family. I hope you are gaining something today. Let me tell you this. When you shift your love from your husband to your children because of certain things that has happened between you, and then you didn't shift it back to him, and the thing continue like that, by the time, and everything will be quiet, so you will have this temporary peace. Are you getting me? It's a temporary peace. Now, even if it is for 20 years, when those children are still teenagers, before they get out of university, they are still under your roof. Are you getting me? So you have this temporary peace, shift of love. So by the time those children grew and want to start their own life, then what you thought is a peace will now become a serious trouble. Because at that time, you now find out that for the 20 years you're supposed to have built intimacy with your own husband, and then when the time comes for the children to release them to start their own life, you are so used to those children, you can't let them go. They want to start their own family. You become a confusion in their family. Did you understand? Some of us, we are a victim of these things. That now that you are married, almost everything that happened in your home, it is your mother that is dictating things. Shift now if you don't want a repetition of that trouble. Whatever it is the issue, you can settle things. There is no mountain anywhere. It was going to have a servant, Bishop Oyedepo, who said that. Baba Oyedepo said, there is no mountain anywhere. Every man's ignorance is his mountain. It is what you don't know that is your mountain. I tell you today, no matter the situation, the challenge between you and your spouse, it can be resolved. And I see God helping every marriage here. In the mighty name of Jesus. Finally, you have to radiate. A spiritual woman radiates inner beauty, reflecting Christ-like. You have to be beautiful inside out. That's what we are talking about. Be beautiful inside out. Spiritual women, they are not only prayerful. They are not only Bible carriers. They are elegantly beautiful. Because the Bible, the Word of God, is their teacher. They take care of their body as they take care of their souls and spirit. How many points is that? 6 already. Please stand to your feet. Have I blessed you today? Have you gained something today? I can't get your response. Go and do likewise. Go and do what you have learned. Be spiritual. If you are not yet married, congratulations. You can form the foundation for spirituality by developing intimacy with God. So everybody, can we raise our voice and just bless God for his word this day? Let's exalt him. Let's praise him. Let's give him glory. Let's give him honor. Go ahead. Rabash.